Hi, I'm Alex Cox.
And I'm Kathy Campbell.
And this is Roboism,
a podcast about robots and tech and isms, but mostly robots.
Hello, Kathy Campbell. Thank you for clarifying who you are, because I get confused sometimes. But mostly, you know, I'm glad that we're talking to our audience again. Everyone has a cute name for their audience. Why don't we have a cute, huh?
Ooh. Okay, what's your idea?
Well, across our audience, one thing that they all have in common, I assume, is using some sort of language. And I am going to make the delusional assumption that we have a very large audience. So like a large language model, what about a listener language makeup? Large listener members. Ooh.
I mean, I was going to call them isms, but...
Isms? members. Oh, we have an email, right? People can tell us what they want to identify as, right? I think it's
self-identification
in the show notes.
Is important.
Yeah. our very large listener model of isms. Goodness gracious.
Yep. Nailed it. We're perfect. No notes. Continue on.
Folks haven't, you know, our large listener model has I need to stop leaning into that from Relay FM.
Switch on.
Haven't heard from us for a while. And in case you need to run at the end of the hour, Kathy, what have you been up to lately?
I have been up to a whole heck of a lot, including getting ready for our Relay 10 anniversary in London this July, which I'm very excited about. And I've been using a lot more robots to edit out glare from glasses in photos, which the built-in Photoshop AI tool to, like, you highlight a section of a glare that maybe goes over an eyeball and you tell it to fix it, and it does. And it's way better than I was doing with, like, content aware patching and stamping and all sorts of stuff. So I have actually been using robots lately, which is interesting.
That makes me really excited. It sounds like we planned that. No, that makes me sound prepared.
Nope, did not plan it. Well, it's funny because I was doing it and I was like, ooh, I can't wait to talk to Alex about this.
Do you have any feelings around, like, you're not using the skills you've learned? Since something we've talked about and the big argument against using, image generators and any sort of, like, what Adobe is doing is essentially creating an image. And when we say artificial intelligence, again, we talk about this all the time. Go listen to old episodes. You don't have to. It means so many things, and it's just a great marketing term. But you just, I don't know, I get the vibe that you kind of liked it. And you're an incredible photographer and an incredible editor. Does it feel weird or just like another tool in your arsenal?
So this in particular feels like another tool in my arsenal. And I know in the past, anyone that may have listened to previous episodes know that I am kind of a hesitant, like, I'm not a big, huge fan of AI creation as a whole. And so it felt weird realizing that I'm okay mm-hmm. with this kind of thing, because the percentage of the overall image is like 0.5%. You know, mm-hmm. it's literally, yeah. it's a full body photo, and I'm doing just the tiniest, like half of a glasses. But the shaping that it's doing, A, it's so much quicker. Now, could I like sit here and hand edit it? Yes. Have I done that in the past? Absolutely. Do I need to prove my value as an editor by doing it by hand? No.
Well, and I would say also that your value of an editor is, again, AI is not a human and is not perfect. So if it does something wonky, you're good enough to notice that and go, you know, touch up those glasses.
Right. Right. And like, this is what, in my personal opinion, which is not speaking for anybody else other than myself, I think utilizing tools that can assist you in doing things that you already know how to do can be beneficial in your workflow for sanity reasons. And I think
that's a better marketing model, a term than I think I've ever heard.
It's one thing if you're coming and you're like, I want to create images using, like, I don't know. It's similar to like when Photoshop first came out in the first place. Like, photographers as a whole are not, like, as much technology as people love in the cameras, the actual industry itself is not super futuristic and like forthcoming. See the lack of, you know, support for BIPOC creators and yada, yada, yada. And how difficult people have, you know, photographing people of color. Please see my friend Andre Laro, who is an incredible Black photographer who does a lot of teaching and training on how to properly expose and edit people of color's skin tones, because there are a lot of really famous photographers that don't do that. But that's not what this conversation is about. That's too ism-y for this. But using tools like Photoshop, like it's a way to accentuate and support what you're doing, but only if you use it in the right way, and that's not creating stuff from scratch, in my opinion.
And I would also say, know what you are doing, because a lot of people don't know how to edit POCs. It's literally some of the first episodes of this show from 2014, the beta version of Roboism, is me talking about how I rightly have a white guilt around making documentaries, and the white balance of the filming people was like, literally, it was like, okay, we can clearly show the Black folks, or we can clearly show the white folks. Oh, and the folks who are, you know, just a mix, because obviously there are huge, and I don't mean like like racially mixed or diverse, I mean just people who have not the typical European skin tones and not folks who have super dark skin. It's absolutely wild. We have come a pretty far way, and that's actually where I mean, I know we're getting a little bit ism-y and into a territory that I've experienced with, but I have not experienced, if that makes sense, because I'm a pasty ghost, and like, cameras can take photos of white things. But what a lot of smartphone cameras have been able to do, I can film or take photos of a large range of colors, including humans, without it making it look like absolutely wild or needing to post process them.
Right.
That's not universal, but as the Apple fam I do think they do a pretty good job of it.
They're definitely getting better.
Yeah, which is why hire diverse folks, because that's how you make your cameras better.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's almost like you should include the people that are, you know, maybe having concerns with this to, like, support the need. I don't know. I just automatically think of the fact that, you know, tampon makers haven't been using actual period blood or even regular blood to test their stuff until, like, 3 years ago. So it's fine.
And there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Listen, Cote. Ew, that's gross. But, see, I said, ew, that's gross. And because I have been trained.
Yep.
By, yeah. I've been actually trying to find someone who works on the technology in pads because I don't know if you're familiar with the Flex Foam brand of menstrual pads, but
no.
They rule. And they were developed after the companies started actually studying absorption of fluids based more around the actual human things, not just pouring, you know, dry or dish,
blue liquid
dish soap detergent into we're making fun of the commercials, but actually in the labs, like, sometimes they would just pour water on something and be like,
it works fine. And now anyone who has ever had a period knows that's not the texture.
That's not how it works.
No. But that got really off track.
I disagree, because these are all isms, and I think it really connects. Maybe not the sexism in feminine hygiene, but the way photographs work. There's been a little bit of a hubbub around Google Gemini, which is Google's AI, no longer Bard. Remember, folks, Bard is Google's former AI. Bard has been renamed to Gemini, and that is their AI, not Google's open source model, which is Gemma. Did any of what I just said, make sense to you, Kathy?
I know that they used the term Bard because it was like Shakespeare, and I'm guessing with the idea that if you have, you know, 100 monkeys pounding 100 keyboards, you can write Shakespeare, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then also, of course, the fact that Google has changed names and programs, because that's also, I'm pretty familiar with that.
Yeah. Professional journalists are getting confused about what the heck this is and why there's different names. But when Google released their image generation model from Gemini, similar to OpenAI's DALL-E, folks started to realize very quickly that there was a bit of a bias, and for once,
what?
But okay, here it's absolutely wild. For once, the bias wasn't what you would think. It wouldn't really make white people. It was Like I'm pretty sure as this started to come through social media and folks were like, oh, look at the woke mind virus has infected another AI. I was looking, I saw this and I'm like, okay, someone clearly must have typed in, you know, a black Nazi and then gotten a photograph of a black Nazi. No, it was just, you would type in something like, Viking or founding fathers and just the most generic terms. And, everything, almost all of the photos, like this wasn't, like I was able to try it, would come back racially diverse in a way that it was clear that not that this model, not that this model was trained with racially diverse subjects, but Google had indeed gone in and been like, hey, you know what? Let's try to do, let's make some stuff and, you know, we'll try to get some of the problematic stuff. And because, you know, you don't want deep fakes of Nazis. And I have a feeling that a lot of these were originally discovered by people typing in like horrifying things and
like their want to do.
Yes. And but then people typing in super normal things and being like, huh, that's odd. Wait, what? What? Like people recreating photos of historical events. And it just was really, really weird. And then, of course, the panic rose across the internet, not just social networks, of the woke mind virus. Elon Musk freaks out. Everyone freaks out. I sent you some links and just check out some of those images, especially the historic ones that it's like, okay, wow. Yeah, yes, a young, attractive Asian woman. So. As a Nazi, alrighty. There were also some instances where you would even put in like a native person, and then it would create a white native person. It was so odd. And if we know anything about how these models work, as we just discussed, the world and internet as a whole is skewed towards white people, skewed to, you know, automatically generate white people. If you put a description of a generic human in most other image generators and don't specify gender or race, it's just going to be a white guy. So, indeed, Google had gone in and done some, you know, complex things, but what I would describe it is kind of like going into to their model and doing like command F for bigotry and trying to delete that. Like that was like their solution instead. Actually trying to change this in an effective, systematic way, it made this weird mishmash of like it ended up making racist images still, because, you know, Twitter finds a way. And right. I mean, you can't do command F for bigotry and just delete, delete, delete. And just command F replace. It was very, very, very weird. And then fueled, of course, this just fuels other folks into thinking, yes, there is a conspiracy against white people, and fuels horrific racist ideas like the Great Replacement Theory stuff, it got folks calling for, Google needs a culture change because they're biased against white people. And, you know, the outrage from the right was, I don't want to say reasonable, predictable. But I kind of was surprised there wasn't more, I guess there was in the tech world, but more folks who are of a reasonable persuasion weren't like, wait, so instead of trying to make the internet better, we're just like, companies are just trying to literally, you know, reverse whitewash this stuff and not... like, what? Why is Google doing this? Why are we, you know, allowing this to happen? Why is this, you know, the biggest search company in the world is manipulating and controlling it? The conspiracy theories on the right are being spread, but not the actual, you know, problems with Google that they have admitted to and wrote a blog post about and explaining what went wrong.
Admitting it, yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
Well, and I think a big problem here is that you look at things and you're like, oh, like, okay, we swung the other way in trying to fix this, but the problem is that what they were trying to fix doesn't help when you're doing searches for like historical things. Like, were there people of color that were Nazis? Probably. But you can't necessarily use it for, you know, create a photo or illustration of, you know, the signing of the Declaration of Independence and have it affected. Like, for...
See, I would even say that it is not even about that. I think it's much worse because there is an inclination for folks to say, like, oh, God, we're swinging too far to the left. But this wasn't that. This was a few very powerful people deciding to manipulate it directly. You know what I mean?
People in charge are affecting and manipulating things to give them a story that they want to tell. I am shocked. How could such a thing happen? We have never had a history of that in America or anywhere else in the world. This is my shocked face.
Oh, what a surprise. Wow. So, I mean, I guess rightly Google just pulled down even though the blog is called Google, the keyword, they pulled
it's almost
the
like if you go to twitter.com it takes you to X. Like, listen, you can change the name all of you want, but if you are not consistent with your own stuff, and for the record, this only counts for companies and the like, not humans. Humans can change their name however often they choose, if that makes them feel comfortable and themselves and all of that stuff. But companies, I will dead name Twitter until I die.
I have actually been yelled at about that. I'm like, all right. Okay.
But X is a terrible name
so
for a company.
Weird. It's so
like, what are you
weird.
What? It's awful. And I don't judge things. I don't judge people the way that I judge companies and Elon Musk. So, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. Unlike the Supreme Court.
Oh, we're going there? Okay, cool.
No. I just stated a fact. That's all. on the blog post, Google says, next steps and lesson learned. this wasn't what we intended. No, really?
No.
We did not want Gemini to refuse to create images of any particular group, and we did not want to create inaccurate historical or any other images. So we turned the image generation of people off and worked to improve it significantly before turning it back on. This process will include extensive testing. And I still think this, hello, Alex again, this stilted, this is now me talking in a stilted way. I still think this is really missing the mark, because it's not about, like, this is a like a Dave and Say, it's a tool. And an outrage around, this is not a direct historical account of history, is like what people said about Hamilton. Like, what year is this?
That was literally where I was gonna go.
Like, what? And instead of, hey, wow, you're really just trying to avoid a PR controversy at the expense of people using your product. And again, I think fueling conspiracies now about how other products are made. And that's what's really been frustrating. And I did visit Twitter for the first time in a while, and because it's a cesspool, like, it's just filled with, oh yeah, see, George Soros is controlling all of the robots. And I'm like, oh goodness gracious me. So it's when are people going to be like, oh, the Illuminati got to Photoshop? Like, the Illuminati's in the glasses.
There's definitely already a conversation about that. It would not surprise me. Like, that's absolutely has to be a statement somewhere.
I promise I'm not going to go looking for it as much as I want.
Your health, your mental health depends too much for me.
I mean, I talk about a, you know, in terms of minds and human minds versus, you know, algorithmic Twitter minds. I'm kind of, other than going in and being, I guess, a lurker, I don't ever really post on Twitter. And I think that getting away from algorithmic social media is something that a lot of people have never done. Like, a lot of folks haven't ever used RSS. And I know that I'm kind of an RSS fanatic. but I don't know. You don't use Twitter anymore, right?
Okay. It is currently being used in one of the companies that I own, mainly because the Wheel of Time community on Twitter has not gone anywhere else.
Like, yeah, it is. I miss my Pokemon Go community so much.
Yeah. And it's something that as a business owner, like, we're working on trying to build engagement elsewhere, but when we have information that we want to share, it's really hard to take it anywhere else and just not hit the people that are there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I myself personally just go on there to remove the notifications.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I've had to go in a couple times to be like, boop, nope, nope, nope.
Nope, yeah.
But as they add features, they add opt-in notifications. But that's what I meant, more of, personal engagement. And you're right, if you're not a nerd, it's still, other than Instagram, it's still one of the easiest ways to talk to people. And
yeah,
even as I said, gosh, I wish I miss my Pokemon Go. Hey, listener models, that's a mobile game from 2016 that some of you might remember, that there is indeed a thriving community around. You just don't hear about it on the news. Thank God. But even that, when I go into to look at lists and, you know, see, I have a Pokemon Go alt and just like follow those people, the algorithm now will show just the angriest ones and a way that, yeah, that happened before, but truly I'm like, where are all my friends and people I actually follow, instead of the Puron rage bait that we're used to seeing in like, you know, news articles and in memes and stuff, but that's just at the top of the algorithm. And I wonder how much that was breaking my brain in the pre muskrat era, because, oh god, I don't want to get into the stupid Twitter files. My goodness, I can't believe I read those. Oh boy. I was always reminded, or rather tried to remind myself, that since Twitter began, and why I initially liked it, is even though it had a bigger, influence on culture, there were not nearly as many people using it every day as Instagram or even Facebook, and now even more so. But it hasn't really shaken its cultural relevance, or at least the relevance has changed to, you know, highlight extremism, which, again, please stop, please, anyone who stop.
Well, it's similar to, you know, the statement that, like, no, there is no such thing as bad publicity. Like, mm-hmm. there's no such thing as bad engagement when it comes to an algorithm game. And so mm-hmm. even hate comments bring all the boys to the yard. Like, yeah. it's something that a lot of... it's a plan that a lot of people that enjoy making people angry about really mm-hmm. latch on to and are like, oh, I'm going to, you know, make people angry so that they want to comment, so that it gets boosted in the algorithm, so that I can get more people to get angry at me, but also I can collect the people that are agreeing with me.
Yeah, basically, there are accounts that kind of, like, they collect rage bait like Pokemon. And, you know, they kind of like in the old school 4chan days, there are some folks who aren't, like, they're still disgusting bigots, but they don't believe some of what they like, the ridiculous stuff they post, and they just, oh man, and they're so thirsty for that engagement that there's a podcast that I really like called Western Kabuki that I listen to instead of going on Twitter most of the time, because it summarizes some, like, a lot of the cultural moments around Twitter that I just don't want to see. And they are really good at sussing out the rage bait versus the true dangerous anti-Semitism that's, you know, been, and racism, other types of racism that is running rampant on Twitter. And I'm wondering, with, you know, since you're not in on the, like, deranged parts of the internet, or don't even really follow up with like what's going on in terms of the seeking derangements, like, and that's another interesting podcast. Do you see people talk about some tweets as if they're, God, I don't want to say real, because they're all real. But do people take a lot of what's on Twitter is face value still? Like, I don't know. I can't tell.
It's hard to say because really the only time I see a Twitter anything is like if it makes it to Facebook, I guess. Because I'm still, like, I engage with a lot of the community, my local community and, like, several business people, like, on Facebook. And I don't... It's not necessarily that I, like, hide myself away, but also I just don't get on a lot of social media places, period. So other than Discord, which is really, like, my main, I don't know, news outlet, I guess.
Oh, interesting.
So join the Relay FM Switch On membership so you can tell me what's going on in the world. that's basically where I get, it's pretty much where I get my news.
And there would be a response from some type of people saying, well, you are hiding awake. You're putting yourself in a bubble. Your head is in the sand. And it's like, no, I'm just not walking into, like, a block party with a bunch of people, you know, drunkenly shouting and like even if it was even if I around my neighborhood, you know, sometimes there are very loud and rowdy block parties that aren't, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, no, I just don't, that's not my vibe. Like, they can do their stuff, but no thank you. In the same way that I don't engage with people who are shouting at one another on the street and like it's
right,
like any sort of, you know, there's stuff on the internet that's not your vibe, that you're not hiding from. It's just, yeah, like, no thank you.
Well, and I also, like, I follow several, I guess influencers is the right word, but I don't know if I really like people of color that are, like, informing me of stuff that's going on, and they're doing their amazing, like, work in sharing information. And, like, so I'm keeping up with the Gaza situation. I'm aware of NEXT. I'm aware of all of these things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I am fully aware of the amount of privilege that I have to be able to like segment my life this way and be able to only delve into it when I have the emotional and like mental ability to, like, don't get me wrong. I get that. But I also know I cannot live in a 24-hour news cycle all the time and be expected to, you know, be a functioning human being with my family and community and get everything else done that I need to get done.
I sensed so much hesitation in that statement because it seemed like you were kind of a chicken probleming, which is also something I do. And yet you asked me a question a while ago on the Relay Members Only podcast. Where can you find that, Kathy?
Which one? In Spotlight?
you're just one of... on Spotlight, a Relay member show where you do amazing conversations with various hosts. Because I'm a pretty, I think, vulnerable and open person online, you asked me, how do I decide what to share with people and what I keep in, you know, my own, like, real life bubble? And my answer was, I think it was kind of, I don't know, I was surprised by the question because I'm like, I don't know, it's just whatever feels right and keeps me out of main character situations. But it is true that there have been people, especially folks who listen to another one of my shows, Due by Friday, who have reached out and been like, hey, why haven't you talked about the genocide in Gaza? Hey, why haven't you talked about the tragic death of Nex? Don't you care about him? And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't care about trans kids. Yeah, uh-huh. Merlin Mann and Alex Cox, notorious.
Yeah, notorious anti-trans.
Oh God, I don't want to laugh next figures. To these.
Please note that's a serious joke.
But that's something that I don't, because it's like the reason we don't talk about this is because we are not a news show and our listeners are aware of these horrors already, and there's no immediate action that not just like our listeners but me personally, like I don't share any of, I guess, my personal, I don't even want to call it like active, but like, you know, stuff in my community that deals with larger, you know, any, if it's like international or usually national issues, because that is, it's not even so much a privacy issue, but it's like, this is me engaging in a local community. And even if it is trying to impact the larger world, there's just no reason for like folks to know about it. Whereas,
yeah, it's a delicate balance between being a performative supporter of causes and actually helping. And I know like the Kardashians get this a lot, and we do not know what people do in their private time, mm-hmm. in their personal, with their personal funds, with their personal money. And there's a certain level that, yes, you should like be able to call out and be like, hey, what you doing over there? You know, we do it with Elon Musk a lot, because he deserves it.
I would argue, or not argue, but state like that does that literally does affect people, and we're sharing our experiences that they might also see of like, oh yeah, I am seeing rage on my timeline. And like I asked you, I'm like, are people I hate this, are people talking about this, who's seeing this? And I do think that's sort of, you know, a one-to-one direct correlation and communication, I guess.
Yeah,
I will say, like, I even do talk about, I'm going to plug it here, even though I don't know how many Chicago language listeners we have. Third Avenue Bookshop, new bookshop. Hey, go visit it. And hey, Jet Comics in San Francisco. Those are two things that Merlin and I talked about, because those are new things and they're wonderful and lovely. And you probably don't know about them, even if you're living in a city. So that is an example of, yeah, please go do that. But yeah, it's not even privacy, it's more of authenticity, I suppose. Like, I think that, yeah, you, at least I feel like I have a very different feeling around how this Gemini kerfuffle, gaffe, whatever you want to,
kerfuffle is a word that's not used nearly often enough.
Well, that's the a word I like to use when it's like the stakes aren't life or death, but it is bigger than just a simple gaffe, you know?
Right.
And it's fun to say. Kerfuffle. But yeah, and the. Again, let's have let me have my delusion where we have a large language model of an audience.
They're large in our heart.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. Thank you. That's Plus, not a delusion.
There's more people that listen to this than I would be comfortable in my house. So
that's a good way to
put about it.
I love that. You know, we have a show, but there are folks who share my opinion that work in the AS spaces who are like, this is a weird way to go about things, but they can't talk about it on a podcast. That does not mean I'm a journalist. I'm not a journalist. I literally left journalism school. I'm not a journalist. I do not want to be a journalist. I will never be a journalist. That said,
hashtag same.
Yeah. You know, that said, this is a topic for another show, but there's less of a discussion around the interesting things you can do with the now released Gemma, which is Google's less powerful, but again, open source LLM. And there are other ones like Llama that I've mentioned from Meta and Stable Diffusion, stuff like that. And those are fun things that I think we should talk about in the future, as well as now that mainstream AI stuff has been trickling into your creative community in what seems like positive ways.
Yeah, and if we ever want to talk about the negative ways, I have a whole bunch of drama over in the photography community about a drama-filled creator that we can maybe talk about next time.
oh, yes, let's do that. Yeah, drama tea.
Yes, I will spill the tea.
Get it. Well, don't, you know what? You don't even need to spill it. Just, you know, I will just slurp it up. I will go into Roomba mode and just be like, so it doesn't need to be a negative thing, but a learning opportunity.
It's an informative thing.
Yeah, I still can't find an artist who will publicly talk about their work being stolen. But increasingly, that is because artists are engaging with these companies or with lawsuits, and they can't talk about it because, not just can't. They're like, Alex, wait, you're not a journalist. And I'm like, yes, thank you, my friend. You're right. I'm not.
You are correct.
But they're, again, doing like really powerful work in the AI space to, inform and advocate for artists, and that excites me a lot. And yeah, in the future, lots of folks will be able to talk about that. I feel like it sounds like got a cool scoop. No, just people can't talk about lawsuits. They've been publicly talked about this, the Getty ones, and not the frickin' Yeah, the New York Times suing OpenAI. Wow. David versus Goliath. Sure. Yeah. Sorry, New York Times.
Or is that
Times.
More of like Goliath versus Goliath? Yeah, is that that kind of is?
Yeah. It's just two titans slapping one another, but, you know, so silly.
Love it.
Kathy, I'm so glad that there has been some positivity in this weird world of robots that we inhibit. Everybody, also real quick, iRobot, maker of Roomba, wasn't acquired by Amazon. Antitrust issues came up and I was like, no thank you. And so now we still have an independent, for now, Roomba company. Yay.
But
any other happy news before we head out and you head to my kryptonite, which is dental professionals?
Yeah, I'm super excited to get my crown. Like I was saying, when I got my temporary put in, temporary crown, permanent queen. So that's all I've got going on here.
I love it. Oh, goodness gracious. For me, for those of you who participated in the ARG haptic, thank you so much. But that is ended. We'll do different ARGs in the future. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, there was a little alternative reality game that we played via, you know, email and Substack, and had some puzzle folks helping with that. But now there will be actual things in the haptic feed that don't disappear, and they're real. So again, thank you everybody who played. It was really, really fun, and you helped me a lot. And anything I do, you can find at alexcox.me or patreon.com/alexcox or patreon.com/dubaifriday. But, oh, more importantly, Kathy, if people want to pay for my health insurance through Roboism, where do they go for that?
Go to relay.fm/roboism. And click the little magical become a member option that is there. Or you can go to, I think, relay.fm/members or memberships. Unsure, because I can never remember which way it is. But that is an option. We need to come up with a fancy URL.
Yeah. And if you are listening to this and then you're like, God, Kathy's so smart, but I can't, ugh, Alex, I just can't. you can also sign up through Kathy's amazing show, Conduit, co-hosted by friend of this show and real life, Jay Miller. Where can people find Conduit?
Yeah, you can go to relay.fm/conduit, or if you want to check out our really awesome merch, including some very specific Discord specific merch, like hashtag breakroom made me do it and hashtag keyboards made me buy it. you can visit youconwearit.com, which is youconwearit.com.
Oh, it's been such a delight to talk to you.
And I missed you.
Yeah, I missed you too. And it's been a delight to be listened to. and
you're welcome, I guess?
No, I was talking to our listener models. No.
Oh, okay. I was like, isn't that what we're supposed to do on a podcast?
Oh, gosh. I am Alex Cox.
I'm Kathy Campbell.
And this has been Roboism.
Thank you for listening.
I can't believe I didn't do it at the same time. Has it seriously been this long? All right, let's try this again. See, robots mess up, people. Don't use AI for everything. and this has been Roboism.
Thank you for listening. Something I should have never known. I'm not fuming, I'm not breathing. I need someone to show me love. of my whole world's crashing down. I'm a burning of a being a robot. Give me the big sound. My life, I have places to go, people to see. I should be optimistic. I have no wires inside me.